Hi, and welcome to the Communication Corner. I'm your host, Dr. Bill Lampton. I always appreciate your joining me and my program producer, Christina Rhodes, every Tuesday morning for conversations with people who have used their communication skills to excel in business and in life. And you know, Christina, it's sort of ironic. Our guests today are going to be talking about persevering through difficulties. How ironic that they had to drive 60 miles in a driving rainstorm this morning.
Talk about perseverance.
Yeah, there's a good example right there, and we appreciate that extra effort on their part. Reminds me of an old song, "Into each life some rain must fall, but too much is falling in mine." At any rate, they made it here today, and we're so delighted. We're going to focus today, our program again is the Communication Corner. We're going to be focusing on motivation, maintaining motivation through difficulties. Well, what relevance is that to communication? It's absolutely central. Because if you're trying to communicate effectively with other people, especially as manager and owner of a business, you cannot do that unless your motivation is strong. How are you going to motivate anyone else if your motivation is not strong? And Christina, you know, we've had some wonderful programs focusing on motivation really recently. Susan Stevenson, the Search Angel, talking with us about reuniting families. And then Lee Highsmith being with us talking about challenged child and friends. It's not often that we get to get out of the studio and visit those places, but last week, well, you tell us a little bit about our visit to Challenged Child and Friends. So inspiring. Tell us a little bit about that, Christina.
Bill, what a fantastic facility. I'd never been over there before. I think you'd visited once before and had told me wonderful things about it. But we went over to the facility and visited right here in Gainesville. And just amazing. I think Lee told us that there was something like 180 students there that day.
That's
somewhere
right.
Around there. And just so much life and excitement and smiles and kids learning and therapy going on. And just what an inspirational place to visit. And gosh, they're working so hard. People running all over the place, doing different things and crafts on the wall and beautiful pictures of the kids. It was great.
And we need to let all of our guests know that we want to get to know them outside the studio as well as inside the studio. Sometimes it's sharing coffee with them afterwards and conversation, and sometimes it's really going to their place of operation. But that was, I agree, that was most inspirational. Getting to today's program, let's start by noting that typically when we were very young, we read statistics about what happened to other people. Their financial losses, injuries, illnesses, divorce, death, and other calamities. During those early years, we naively were convinced that those somber statistics would always involve other people. Not us. For example, every year, we always read more than 50,000 Americans will die in auto accidents. That's interesting data, sure. But what's that got to do with us? We drive safely, soberly, keep our safety belts fastened, and make sure the tires and brakes are in good order. Car crashes? That's for other people. Or move in your thinking now to the biggest news item this week. Did the citizens of Japan think a tsunami would bring widespread destruction and death just 4 days ago? Of course not. Those massive storms were going to happen somewhere else. So, in my experience, the real sign that we have reached a stage of mature thinking in life is this. We recognize that statistics don't always just apply to other people. They can include us. Inevitably, they will include us. We realize that sometime in life we'll join others who got blindsided by unwelcome events. So today our guest, Debbie Shapiro, is going to graciously describe some of the professional and personal challenges she has endured and tell us how she has persevered through all of them, just like she and Jill persevered through that driving rain to get here today. Debbie, many of you will remember, was a sparkling guest of ours several months ago. In that interview, we came to know her as a highly revered business leader in the Atlanta area. Today, we will learn that despite what appearances might suggest or imply, Debbie is not somebody who has enjoyed unbroken bliss. And during the program, we will also hear, too, from Debbie's business partner, Jill Beck. Later today, you'll be able to read more about Debbie and Jill and their company in my blog. You'll see our photo together, and you'll have access to their contact information. Plus, the podcast of this live interview will be on the blog permanently. Please note the blog address now, and I'll repeat it later on, the blog address, thecompletecommunicator.com. Well, with that introduction, please join me now in welcoming a true survivor, an outstanding leader, and a courageous person. Welcome, Debbie Shapiro. Debbie, welcome.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're delighted with the scintillating presence that you brought last time and with the wonderful information. We knew we would have you back for some reason. We thought it would be a business angle. However, we're delighted that you're helping us move in another direction today so that we know you beyond the business scene. We know your life. We know some adversities, and we know how you overcome them. Again, you're a businesswoman who has earned recognition and awards from prominent organizations. Yet even the most successful leaders encounter major obstacles during their professional careers. What are some of the most challenging events? And let's start with professionally. What are some of the most challenging professional events that have threatened your serenity and possibly even your likelihood of success, Debbie?
Well, let me just go back when you opened your show so eloquently discussing statistics. I have to say, I think the audience might be mesmerized by the one that I'm going to give because I have created my own statistic in that an adversity that myself and my family had to overcome was finding out that I got laid off of my job, my first big corporate director of marketing job, found out I was pregnant, and that my husband got laid off of his job the same day.
Talk about timing.
Timing statistics. So it kind of started from there, and that was a huge obstacle to overcome at so many different levels.
And it all came in one fell swoop.
It did. And so what I did is tried to basically apply some life principles, I guess you would say, trying to figure out a way with my family how I can deal with what I can't change and what can I change? How can I persevere through this and get to the next place? And all I could really think about was the biggest thing that I couldn't change, which was I was going to bring a new life into this world. And so that became the center point. And it became very obvious how I was going to get to the next place professionally and how that would impact me positively in my personal life, which it did. So that was probably the largest professional obstacle, but it involved such a personal sense of self for me that it really defined, I think, who I am.
And of course, what you're saying, Debbie, relates to so many people today. What is it, still around 10 million, around 10% unemployment, 15 million Americans unemployed? And the large majority of those, I think you and I would guess, were people who thought they had a secure status. They had worked hard. They'd gotten their degrees. They had performed well, they were loyal to their organization, and again, they thought they could never become that statistic. So what you're talking about, there are many people who can relate to that. I lost a major job myself at one time. My wife has lost a major job. The idea that we had growing up, if you got the proper credentials and you went to work and you were loyal, that the company would reward you for life, and then there'd be a nice, comfortable retirement. Boy, you know any more fairy tales?
One I could tell you about. No, not really, but that's exactly right. And I think just along those lines, something that's just diametrically different was, you know, at one level, a big obstacle, like I said, involved a life, you know, giving birth to our son. And then in contrast, having my business partner become diagnosed with a colon cancer, an illness that would kill him, take his life in years to come.
You two had worked together for how long?
We had worked together prior to starting our business for about 7 years, and in our business for five. I think it was 5 or 6 years, and then he was diagnosed.
So you'd had a dozen-year association, obviously a productive one, obviously a harmonious one, and here was another major loss that you had to face.
And I think for me, getting through that on the positive side of looking at life and the negative side of looking at death, what I learned from that was my ability to, and this might sound a little strange, but to see patterns a little bit. I think innately I do that. And what I learned was through seeing these different patterns, regardless of the dichotomy of life, for example, and death, is that these setbacks always ended up having amazing outcomes and helped me grow professionally and personally, but just really being able to see that. And so now when I'm faced with what I think might be an adverse situation or something that I need to be a little cautious of, something inside of my head starts to try to look for the pattern. What am I seeing that's the same? And how am I going to deal with that to get what I need, what the company needs, what everyone around me needs, that positive outcome, and how that's going to work? And there must be something subconscious there, because I guess a positive outcome must involve some income. That's all I can deduct from that little Freudian slip.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remind me so much, if I can share my own personal slant on this. I was talking with an adult group not too long ago. We were mentioning adverse things that had happened to us in life, and one of the comments I made was that several years ago, I came to the decision that life is very much like a jigsaw puzzle. If you put the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle out, none of the pieces seems to make sense by itself, and you say, we could probably do without this piece. In fact, it's kind of an unsightly piece. The amazing thing is that the longer you live and the more experiences you have and you get some of that maturity we talked about just a couple of minutes ago, the more you see that, guess what? All of these pieces mean something. We wouldn't get the picture we have now if it had not been for all of those pieces. So they were disparate and disconnected. Now here they are, unified and sensible. Am I reflecting what you just said?
Well, yes, you are. In fact, if I could just make a comment and share something personal. In the earlier years of my marriage, my husband was diagnosed with MS. And just a little FYI for the audience out there, it's MS week this week. And so I'm just very, you know, conscious and thinking about that a lot.
Debbie, just in case somebody might not know the initials, tell us what MS is.
Multiple sclerosis.
Yes.
Multiple sclerosis. And my husband was diagnosed at a young age. And it's just really interesting because going back and again, looking at those patterns and how things happened, he and I often have conversations about what our life would be like in the event that he hadn't been diagnosed. Sort of, you know, no coincidences there. Jill and I were talking this morning, no accidents really. And thinking and looking and reflecting on how positive and how fortunate we are, even though we've lived through this ongoing nightmare with the disease.
Well, my viewpoint is, and again, to throw in my own reflections on it, I like to say that there are bad accidents in life. Car crashes, a house catches on fire, a pedestrian gets hit, somebody's gun accidentally goes off. Those are bad accidents. But they're no good accidents. There happens to be some wonderful way, if we're open to it, if we look out for it, if we are receptive, there's a wonderful way in the universe that, again, those jigsaw pieces fit together. I cannot believe this, but we're at the quarter hour point already. It just amazingly goes by when our guests are so inspiring and
loquacious.
Well, Yeah, that would mean wordy, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay, Christina, please remind our listeners who might have tuned in late where we are and who our wonderful guest is, please.
Sure, Bill. We're glad that you've tuned into the Communication Corner, a weekly interview program hosted by Dr. Bill Lambton, broadcasted live at 9 a.m. every Tuesday and rebroadcasted Thursday at 6 a.m. right here on WBCX 89.1 FM, The Voice of Brenau. Our guest today has been with us previously on the Communication Corner. You may remember her. Her name is Debbie Shapiro of Atlanta, a highly respected business leader known for her expertise in strategy, creativity, and marketing. With her is her business partner today, Jill Peck, who will also be sharing some comments a little later in the show. Today, Debbie is helping us understand how she has persevered through unpredictable business and personal challenges. What she tells us will help us cope with unexpected circumstances that just were not in our game plan, as Debbie puts it. And again, gosh, how wonderful is this topic, because it's something we can all relate to. So stay with us, listeners, for the full 60 minutes. Debbie's conversation with Bill will inspire you and will equip you mentally and emotionally for tough times that impact your business and life.
Thank you, Christina. Speaking of inspirational, make sure that you tune in Monday evenings to WBCX 89.1 FM for Christina's new interview program, which she hosts, entitled Above and Beyond. Christina, I know you've had some guests so far that have just entranced your listeners. Do you know who's coming up next?
I'm not sure exactly who's going to be next. I have a couple interviews lined up this week, but I have to say this is very interesting because last night my guest was Dr. Allison Ainsworth, and this was the topic of the show, overcoming personal struggles and obstacles and persevering and never giving up. So I'm loving that this is kind of a theme for WBCX.
Well, it's not a topic we can overwork, is
right,
it?
Right.
No, because it's constantly needed. Christina also has a Monday afternoon show. That's Ocean Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Christina's a native Californian, loves the beach scene, gets there as often as she can, and loves to play beach music. So listen to her on Monday afternoons at 3 o'clock. Getting back to Debbie Shapiro. Debbie, you've taken us through some of the professional and personal obstacles, and we want your guidance on what helped you get through those and still helps you get through them. To me, one of the great myths in life is that people are self-made people. I think it was Mark Twain who once said of someone who claimed to be a self-made man, he said, well, that relieves the creator of a great responsibility. So most of us who make it through tough times have other people that we do draw assistance from. Are there any mentors and coaches who have been especially meaningful to you, both in your personal and your professional challenges?
Oh, my gosh. A list, a plethora of them. I wouldn't even really know where to begin, so I'll try. If I could step backwards for just a second and say, for me personally, I recognize mentors, as you put it, at many different levels. From a traditional standpoint, my parents and my sister have been very supportive of me, helping me deal with my husband's illness, some health issues with my son, and quite frankly, some personal health issues. And interestingly enough, my circle of what I call family friends have been instrumental in helping me deal with the personal health issues of my parents. Both of them are cancer survivors. And so that adds a nice little twist when you are starting a business in the midst of trying to grow a business and working, you know, with the new business partner, Jill and I, trying to take our company to the next level, and then having, you know, these personal setbacks that and Jill has experienced as well. So from that perspective, everyone in that arena, that family arena, I guess you would call it, would be a mentor of sort and a coach to me. I also have a business coach and a lot of professional friends at a business level who have been very helpful. in many ways that I never knew would end up helping me, not just personally and professionally, but quite frankly, financially. And if I could just take a second and use one example.
Sure.
I don't know if you're supposed to say names or not on the radio, but we'll just call him Ross, my insurance guy. When I set the business up with John, John added a different dynamic to what would be our business. And he was very into...
This was John Henderson.
Henderson, mm-hmm. Yes. And he was very into the business, the context of what we did every day. But he was not into the business of the business. And so this very dear friend of mine said to me, you're going to do this right from day one. Set yourself up administratively. Get your insurance and your this and your that. Anyway, who knew? John would become ill. We had everything lined up, perfect health insurance, great life insurance, amazing disability insurance. And so that was a huge thing. It seemed so small, but it helped from a financial standpoint, our families, meaning my family and John's family, get through that transition of who was going to own what and how those shares of stock would be dispersed, et cetera, and because there was so much financial support from all of those initiatives that this friend of mine brought to my attention, I couldn't have asked for a better transition, you know, with John. And the other diametrically sort of different side of mentoring, I guess, that I wanted to say, I think that unknowingly, my clients and my vendors, students that I've mentored at the different universities have mentored me, my staff, in an unknowing way.
Tell us a little bit about your mentoring students. That's what you do on a volunteer mm-hmm. basis, one of your volunteer mm-hmm. services.
Volunteer services, yes, I do. I go out to a couple of universities and work with some of the marketing and the business students, talking to them a little bit about entrepreneurship and leadership and what it's like.
You
and
talk to them as groups or as individuals or both?
Both. I meet them initially as a group in a classroom setting, and then it's a personal contribution, I guess you would say, for me to continue mentoring a handful of them through the next several years. And I do have to say, and of course, with the help of all of the team at Henderson Shapiro PAC, we've taken them to another place, helping them start businesses and, you know, getting things going. So it's not just me, it's the team.
Well, watching their progress afterwards must be a tremendous satisfaction to you to see people who once were students. You help them understand what they need to do when they get their degrees. Then you watch them graduate. Keeping an eye on them as they move forward must be tremendously rewarding.
It's very rewarding, and I'm hoping that they're going to be keeping an eye on me as they continue to grow in their, you know, professional lives. And then also on the volunteering side, too. I know we've talked about that, but that's another way, you know, to give back.
And we'll be talking with Jill about that yes. after the half hour.
And the mentoring and the mentee, which is it? To me, it's a lot of the same. I was thinking last night, because I knew I would be on this wonderful program this morning, about a famous fun little saying, some Canadian philosopher whose name escapes me, but something to the effect of, on, you know, spaceship Earth, you know, none of us are passengers, we're all crew. And there is some sense of responsibility and accountability. And in any day, today I'm mentoring you, tomorrow you're mentoring me, and it's a great circle.
I love that statement. I've never heard it before, and I'll be sure to write that one down.
I hope I quoted it right.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent. In the last day or two, you and I did a little chit-chatting by phone talking about our topic today. I was really captivated when I asked you, Debbie, most people who get inspiration have some favorite books. You mentioned a book that I never would have thought about. I was slightly familiar with it. Many of our audience members might be familiar with it. Tell us about this book, and it's such a brief one. I want you to do for our listeners what you did for me yesterday, and that's read that book to us.
It's one of my favorite books. In fact, I have a copy here. Oh, gosh, we're on the radio and not TV, so you can't see this amazing cover that Shel Silverstein did. But it's called The Giving Tree, and this copy is actually a gift that I gave to my son on Mother's Day because it was a message that I wanted to give back to him. And
what age was he then?
It was 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago.
Okay.
And we actually, even from a professional standpoint, we distributed this book to our staff. I mean, it means a lot, this book. It's about giving, and there are people out there who give, and it makes them happy. And sometimes you don't really need anything in return. That is the gift, being able to give. And then in contrast, looking at, you know, love in another way, how you can give love back and what a gift that is to be able to sort of that whole give and take game. I guess that would be the premise of this book from my eyes.
Take us into it. Read it to us, please. Are you
going to make me read this? Oh, my gosh.
It's brief.
Okay, well, let's start the giving tree. Once there was a tree. I don't know about my timing. And the tree loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come and he would gather her leaves and make them into crowns and play king in the forest. He would climb up her trunk, swing from her branches, take her apples, and play hide-and-go-seek. And when he was tired, she would sleep in his shade. How am I doing on my time?
You're fine.
I am? Okay. I'm sorry. This is embarrassing.
Our time is your time.
It is? Okay, good. Well, let me go back to this boy, because this boy loved the tree. He loved the tree very much, and the tree was happy. But time went by, and the boy grew older. Try not to make noise here. And the tree was often alone. Then one day, the boy came to the tree, and the tree said, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk, swing from my branches, eat apples, play in the shade, and be happy." "I'm too big to climb and play," said the boy. "I want to buy things. I want to have fun. I want money. Can you give me money?" "Well, I'm sorry," said the tree, "but I have no money. I have only leaves and apples. Take my apples, sell them, make money, and you'll be happy." And so the boy climbed up the tree, gathered the apples, took them away, but the tree was still happy. The boy stayed away for a long time, and the tree was sad. And then one day the boy came back, and the tree shook with joy. "Come, boy, come climb up my trunk, swing from my branches, be happy." "Well, I'm too busy to climb trees," said the boy. "I want a house to keep me warm. I want a wife. I want children. Can you give me a house?" "I have no house," said the tree. "The forest is my house. But cut off my branches, build a house, and you'll be happy." And so the boy cut her branches, carried them away, and built the house. And the tree was happy. But then more time passed. The boy stayed away. But when he came back, the tree was so happy she could hardly speak. "Come, boy," she whispered, "come and play." "I'm too old to play," said the boy. "I want a boat that will take me far away." "We'll cut down my branches and make a boat," said the tree. "Then you can sail away, and then you will be happy." So the boy cut the branch, took it, made a boat, sailed away, and the tree was happy. But not really. And after a long time, the boy came back. "I am sorry, boy," said the tree, "but I have nothing left to give. My apples are gone." "Well, my teeth are too weak for apples," said the boy. "My branches are gone. You can't even swing." "I'm too old to swing," said the boy. "My trunk is gone," said the tree. "You can't even climb." "I'm too tired to climb," said the boy. "I am sorry," sighed the tree. "I wish there was something to give you, but I have nothing left." "I don't need much now," said the boy, "just a quiet place to sit and rest. I am very tired." "Well," said the tree, "an old stump is good for sitting and resting. So come, boy, sit down and rest." And the boy did, and the tree was happy. The end.
Read wonderfully. Tell us, please, we're almost at the half-hour break. Take a minute or so to tell us, please, why that book means so much to you. What's the major lesson you draw from it? Why is it that you have even used that book in company retreats? What's the big story in this book for you, Debbie?
Well, I think I'm the tree. Sometimes I really feel like the giving tree, and I love it, and it truly makes me happy. And so I feel very fortunate in that I am that kind of person, and it does make me happy to give and to see others happy, whether it's a one-on-one mentoring experience that we discussed or collectively talking to students and trying to help them get to the next place, working with staff, family, friends. And quite frankly, I think that a lot of the adversity we talked about on the health side with family and friends, in a way, it helped define me, and this giving was my therapy, in a sense. I think it just helped me get past and through places that I might not have wanted to go.
Thank you. Thank you. That leads us a wonderful segue, because immediately after we hear some public service announcements, immediately after that, Jill Peck is going to take the microphone and talk with us about giving in the way of volunteer work, working with a charitable organization. Christina, catch us up, please.
Okay, you are tuned into the Communication Corner this morning, a weekly interview program hosted by Dr. Bill Lampton. It's broadcasted now live 9 a.m. every Tuesday and rebroadcasted Thursdays at 6 a.m. for those early risers. And you can only get it here, right here on WBCX 89.1 FM, the voice of Brenau. If you've been listening, our guest today has been with us previously on the Communication Corner. Her name is Debbie Shapiro. She's from Atlanta, and she is a highly respected business leader known for her expertise in strategy, creativity, and marketing. With her business partner, Jill Peck is also here today, and she will share with us in just a few minutes. Today, Debbie is helping us understand how she has persevered through unpredictable business and personal challenges. What she tells us will help us cope with unexpected circumstances that were just not in our game plan, as Debbie likes to put it. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We're going to take a quick break.
To contact WBCX, you can call 770-538-4744. Or you can visit us on the web via Facebook, Twitter, and our website at brenau.edu/WBCX.
Extraordinary Lives from Brenau University.
I had everything going for me. A husband, a child, and a job I loved. And then things just fell apart. I got divorced, and suddenly my job as a teacher's assistant could no longer pay the bills. It was a terrible blow, but I didn't feel self-pity. Only this overwhelming sense that this was my life, and I wanted to make it the best life I could, for me and my son. So I went back to school and enrolled in Brenau University. At Brenau, I found classrooms full of people just like me, motivated adults who wanted to better their careers and their lives. In 1 year, I'll be a licensed school teacher with my own first grade classroom. Life can knock you down, but you can change that life. At Brenau University, you can make your life extraordinary.
Now with two Atlanta campuses, Norcross and Fairburn, as well as Gainesville and online, register at gobrenau.com. That's GOBRENAU.com. Brenau University, extraordinary lives.
Senior Issues is a radio show devoted to promoting quality issues to help our seniors maintain or improve their quality of life. Also, the show could help those with seniors and their family be aware of the various issues that would affect both them and their loved ones. Showtime is 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Thursday, and yes, we are live. We will cover a wide range of subjects over the course of time. If you have a subject that you would like discussed, or if you know of an event that our listening audience should be aware of, call me at 770-380-9727. This is Charles White, Certified Senior Advisor. I hope that we can add you to our listening audience.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, "What if?" Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hi, I'm Christina Rhodes, and I'm excited to invite you to tune into my brand new show entitled Above and Beyond. On Above and Beyond, I interview highly inspirational guests who help inspire you to live a better life. You'll hear from people that have overcome personal obstacles and others that have made a positive impact in their community and world. So join me Mondays at 7 p.m. for life tips and unique experiences that will motivate you to go above and beyond, because each one of us has the power to make a difference.
say you want to throw the perfect party for your twin daughters, but even if the clown you hired doesn't dazzle and the pony doesn't give rides, it can still be the perfect party because kids don't always see things the way you see them.
Best party ever, Mom!
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of siblings in foster care who'll take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Gail Dunn, and I'd like to invite you to join me on Garage Gab every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. On Garage Gab, we'll find a way to help you solve your car dilemmas and save you money. Again, that's 9 a.m. on Wednesday mornings here on the Voice of Brunel.
Hello, you're in the Communication Corner for the second half of our program featuring Debbie Shapiro talking about overcoming obstacles, both personal and professional. Now we're going to turn the spotlight to Debbie's business partner, one of her business partners, Jill Peck. And Jill, just before the break, we were talking with Debbie about giving. We were thinking about the concept of the giving tree. Debbie was saying that giving to others is one way to enrich your life, whatever you're going through. Explain to us a little bit, please, Jill, what might be a major cause that you and some of your associates, business associates, embrace as volunteers?
Well, okay. I guess what I'd first like to say is you were asking Debbie about mentors, and she actually has been a mentor for me and has given me the gift of giving over the years that we have worked together. And so our giving back to the community actually started with our own company. And what we did is we engaged our own employees in what we call an outreach committee. And they worked together to set up programs for the employees at our company to give back to the community.
Well, did the employees recommend causes to support then?
They do indeed. They give, if it may be a personal cause, it may have something to do with a personal issue that's happened in their family. We have given back to such organizations as Habitat for Humanity, the Atlanta Food Bank.
Have you worked in Habitat for Humanity, hammering the nails?
Yes,
and all
indeed
that?
We have. We have a team that's done that. Absolutely. We've given back to Dress for Success, made contributions for the troops.
And Dress for Success, as I remember it, is an organization that provides clothing for people who are going into the job market or have entered the job market but don't have the appropriate clothing, can't afford it. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. And actually, our staff has made contributions on our behalf each year for the holidays as a gift to us. So they really learn from Debbie as well about giving back. One of the other things that Debbie and I both do is serve on boards. Debbie is a board member of the American Red Cross, and I serve on Emerge Scholarships Board.
And that's sharing your time and your expertise, and I would be certain your financial resources as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, any other organizations that you want to mention, Jill?
I think that the only other organizations that I would mention, as I said, were personal, based on our employees and their experiences in overcoming adversity, starting with one of the partners of our company, John Henderson, and giving back to colon cancer, which is where we initially started. And then we had people who had breast cancer parents. Debbie Shapiro's own mother had breast cancer. So we got very involved with the Susan G. Komen Foundation. And we've had the sudden death of parents related to heart, and so we've given back to the Heart Association. And most recently, one of our employees' mothers was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So we have also done some runs on their behalf and some individual fundraising. And I might note as well that during the summer, we do our own individual fundraiser where people can put into the outreach committee an organization that they're interested in participating in to raise funds. It might be a race. We've done that for Leukemia Society, and they need funds to be able to participate. And our own employees come and bring their friends, and we do an auction. And all of the money that's raised goes to that cause.
In caring for your own employees, I think it would be appropriate, just from what I know of your description, that yours is not only a business, and maybe this sounds trite, but I think it's accurate, yours is very much a working family.
Absolutely. We are a community unto ourselves.
Deb, where do you want to take it from here?
Well, one of the things that I think Jill and I find really interesting, and it's a statistic, I just have to say statistic, I don't know why, because I had this in my head, and you opened your show with that. One of the things that we learned is that volunteers are 25% more likely to enjoy their jobs, number one. They are 25% more likely to have the highest work ethic. And I don't know what the numeric statistic is, but overall, the team members tend to work harder towards their own professional goals when they're faced and challenged, I suppose, with other people's adversities at some level. So that's one of the reasons that we are so intent on making that part of our culture at our firm.
And another thing about giving, whether it's volunteer service, whether it's your time, whether it's hammering nails at Habitat for Humanity, whether it's doing the Dress for Success, when you are centering your attention on somebody else's problems, you're not focusing on your problems. There's something magnificently therapeutic about becoming a volunteer, becoming a giver. And the people who probably, from our experience as we're talking, I think the people who have the most problem getting through difficulties are those who think that theirs are the only difficulties of any importance. When you start recognizing that there's a world of need out there and that we're all, as you put it, quoting somebody from Canada, we're all a part of the crew. We're not all just passengers. Something magnificently therapeutic in the giving, isn't it?
There is, and I think that it really can help, not just at a professional level, expand and bring out the best, if you will, in a person, but quite frankly, I think it really helps open the eyes and the hearts of everyone as well. I know for me personally, I am still on a regular basis mesmerized by some of the things that I've seen, even with Red Cross, not just what happens to be going on over the last few days, but over the last few years, you know, realizing something as simple as a dollar can vaccinate a child in Madagascar or something like that. It's like, wow, a dollar. I mean, we take four quarters and out of the bottom of our purses every day and throw it in a piece of Tupperware. And then when it's time for the garage sale, you take it out or you go dump it in the machine at the bank and, you know, get your money back. And so just from it, at so many different levels, I think it just really helps catapult someone's personal growth by being involved in some kind of community service.
It really is true as well that children, if they're going to be philanthropists, if they're going to be givers, the best place for them to learn that is during their maturing years. I read a wonderful story just yesterday about actor Robert Redford. Robert Redford was a child in school, and he heard some of his classmates talking about an ethnic group in a very derogatory fashion. And he went home and he said to his father, "Father, what is a?" And he named the group. And his father said to him, "You're in that group." And he said, "That had an incredible impact on me, that I'm no different, I'm no better from anybody else. Whatever anybody else calls them, that's what I am." And so he said that one incident with his parents marked the beginning of a considerable amount of philanthropy that he became involved in.
I think that's amazing. And I personally, for me, I think that my involvement in community service came to fruition the same way. As I mentioned earlier in the program, my husband at a very young age was diagnosed with MS. And so in my 20s, I spent a lot of time volunteering at the MS Society in Tennessee. We were in Tennessee at the time. And so it, you know, it starts from there. In contrast, I know that Jill and I have seen a lot of associates, business associates, team members, et cetera, that have not really had an unfortunate experience or something that led them to a particular charity. But that's when mentors and coaches like Jill and me and others can step back and say, well, here's an opportunity for you to learn something. Here's an interest that you have, and perhaps you can make a difference. And so I think either way, whether you're doing it to learn and to give and or you're trying to help solve a problem, I think it's all the same.
We're at the 9:45 mark. My gosh. Christina, remind us, please, tell us who our guest next week will be.
Sure, Bill. Well, first, I'll remind our listeners that you are tuned into 89.1 WBCX, The Voice of Brunel, and you're listening to Dr. Bill Lampton, host of the Communication Corner, with his guests today, Debbie Shapiro and Jill Peck. Bill, I'm delighted to announce, very excited, that next week's guest, we will welcome a distinguished Brunel University faculty member, Dr. Stuart Blakely, chair of the Department of Mass Communication, and I'm very proud to welcome him because not only have I had him as a professor here at Brunel, but he's also my direct supervisor, so I work with him very closely every day. During the last few months, we have hosted several Brunel faculty members. Every time, their participation brings us vital information and discuss format of our listeners. It's very welcome for our listeners. So be sure to join in next Tuesday for Bill's conversation with Dr. Stuart Blakely.
Thank you, Christina. Ironically, I was talking with Dr. Blakely in the hallway this morning before the program, reminding him that he and I went to the same graduate school, Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. He received his master's there. I received my master's and PhD there. We had a wonderful time talking about our university days at Ohio University. We decided our topic next week is going to be television. I know we had a grand interview with Julie Clay a few weeks back about television, but it's an inexhaustible topic. It's something people love talking about because they spend so much time on it. And one thing that I'm going to ask Dr. Blakely for sure, and I mentioned this to him this morning, is what does he think of, how does he assess television's reporting of the tsunami in Japan, a worldwide major disaster? How does he evaluate that? And we'll cover many other aspects of television as well. So be with us next Tuesday. Reminding everyone that this program and all programs, you can hear it again on the Tuesday program. You can hear on Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. Also, you can hear this and any previous programs on my blog, thecompletecommunicator.com. Again, thecompletecommunicator.com. Well, here we are with Debbie Shapiro and Jill Peck. Business partners, I want you two to say a little something about the fact that your business partners. That's the way your association started, but you became friends. People sometimes wonder, can business and friendship really work? You two have a lot in common. Children, Sam and Carly, you have an association beyond the workplace. I'd like for each one of you to comment on that a little bit, please.
Oh, my gosh, and I have to be first. Okay. Well, for me personally, again, this is just personal perspective, but if I look back at my life, a lot of my close personal friends, I have met through business. They've worked at, you know, ad agencies that I worked with in previous jobs and the media, speaking of television, very close friend, you know, that I worked with in TV. But it's really interesting. I laugh because Jill has three sisters, and so now she kind of has four, and I only have one, so now I have two. And it's been really nice. It's a transition, and I think that one of the things that Jill and I do really well is we're just very aware of those boundaries. And in any given moment, I think that we can turn it on and off, and Jill shaking her head, yes, we can, and we know, okay, this is personal, this is another day. This is professional. We have to move forward. We have to fix this. We have to do this. We have to make this decision. And I do think that you can be very close and dear friends with someone that you work with. I know that there are a lot of professionals that are married. I personally come from a family business. My father, my grandfather, my uncle, and my brother all worked together. There's a whole psychology show if you ever need another guest.
Dr. Lara, we're calling you.
Dr. Somebody. So I know that it can work. And I think my only lesson is just being aware. And, you know, that's it. That's what I've learned, to just be aware and not take that relationship, you know, for granted.
Jill, swing the mic around there. I'd love to hear your comments about this as well, please.
Well, I think I would have to agree. I like to say Debbie is my longest standing relationship. We sometimes joke that we're married at work, and it is a strong relationship that takes a lot of work from both a business perspective and a personal perspective, but it's one that I wouldn't trade. I think that as our business has grown, so has our friendship and our relationship, and it's really quite incredible. We have been through many life cycles together, our families, as you said, both of our children on the way to college, and so we've been able to go through those milestones together and really be a support for each other along with our business, but on a personal level. So I feel very lucky to have a business partner and a friend all in one, and a sister and a mentor and so many other things, really.
Nice combination, for sure. Debbie, you said that you wanted to mention a little bit more about family members who have been so supportive for you.
Oh, yes. One of the things that I know that we had talked about, not just from an adversity standpoint, but just in general, me thinking about my career and how I came to this place, starting a business. And I was thinking last night about my grandfathers. And I just wanted to just mention that because I really don't speak of them often. I don't think Jill's ever heard me really talk about them. But this is how my career started. And I'll just take 15 seconds. My
take longer.
Well, my father's father heard me one day after work. He dropped my dad off again, family business. Oh my gosh, they drove in together an hour every day. They drove in an hour home every day. I don't know how they ever spoke, but every day that my grandfather would do that, he would come into the house, say hello to the grandkids, and he overheard me talking about student council. And I told him, I'm going to run for student council. And he looks at me and he says, Debbie, how can you run for student council? You don't have any promotional flyers. That's what they called them back then. I said, oh, people, they don't do that. Yes, they do. They do that. And the next day he came back. He had gone downtown in this very small town where their business was and had these little cards made up for me. And it said, vote for Debbie. And he didn't look at them until he walked in the house. And they spelled my name wrong. I'm a D-E-B-B-I. And the card said D-E-B-B-I-E. So all night I sat up and I scratched out those E's and I drew little petals around them and made a little flower. That's how I should have branded myself, quite frankly.
Yeah,
but so anyway, so I passed those cards out and I won. And in the back of my mind, I thought, I wonder if I would be serving this school. This was, you know, young high school. If my grandfather hadn't done that. And so that was just a very heartwarming sort of, this is how all that came. But again, it ties back into the giving, and really for him, that lesson, for me, that lesson was, instead of putting yourself in a potentially adverse situation, i.e. not winning, why don't you just do every single thing that you can to try to win? And so that was a big lesson for me. My mom's father had a business, and as soon as I graduated from college, he sends me this huge package in the mail. I had no idea what I was doing, and he said, here are all of my store marketing materials. Here are all my ads. Here's how much money I spent. I want you to analyze, that was the word he used. I still have the letter in my jewelry box. I want you to analyze these letters and get back with me. And so That was huge for me, because it was just giving me that push that I needed. I can do this. I don't have a job. I don't even have my graduation certificate in the mail yet, or however it came back then. But that opportunity, again, you can do it. Try it. And so that stayed with me for a long time.
Most interesting. Let's look at the fact that you have been through with your family and with your business many challenges. We said the title of this program was going to be Persevering Through Personal and Professional Difficulties. This is a stage where soon your son will be going to college. He's going to have some difficulties. He's going to have some things he didn't expect. As a mother who has been through so much, what's your advice going to be to him? Have you already given it? Do you continue to give it? What will you say?
Well, let's see. If a tree falls and no one hears it, does it make noise? I don't know. I try to give advice every day, but and I say the words, not sure if they're being perceived and interpreted, but I think it's an ongoing thing, and I just want to say for the record that I think the biggest difficulty is really going to be for me. I think at some level, I don't know about Carly, Joel, talk about Carly, but I think teenage boys are ready to go to college, and so that's my first hurdle, and will go down in history as being an adverse situation for me. But little things along the way, be happy, be true to yourself. You know, trusting your intuition and following your heart and volunteering, and particularly for my son, making sure that you take care of your health and keep your doctor appointments and you know, not making shortcuts. And, you know, they call it work because it's hard and you have to do it.
They don't call it play.
They don't call it play. And remembering that it's a favorite little saying that I have in his room, home is where your mom is. So we'll see if that comes to play.
It is a traumatic time when, and in your case, the only child goes away. Jill, what about you? You want to chime in on that? You're in the same situation.
Well, I am. I'm excited for my daughter, for her to embark on this exciting journey in her life. I bought this card for her, which I brought, and I won't read it all, but I bought it about 3 or 4 years ago, and I've kept it for when she graduated because it was sort of advice for life, and just a couple of the items, one being trust your instincts. If it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. Nurture your friendships. Believe in yourself. The only person in the world who can truly hold you back in life is you. To be grateful. And really, the closing thought, which I think is very important, that my father said to me when I was graduating from high school, was no matter what, you will always be loved. You don't have to test this one. Just carry it around in your back pocket and know, no matter what, you can always come home. If you can only remember one, remember you are loved.
Terrific advice. Debbie, back to you. As we've looked at your adversities and how, not alone, but with the help of business associates, friends, family, you've overcome them. Is there anything that you would say this one incident was the biggest aha moment for me?
Oh, gosh. I think they've all been aha moments. Categorically, though, looking professionally and all the little bullet points under that, and then personally and all the little bullet points under that, I think that I would have to put it in the realm of health. I think those have been the biggest aha moments for me, that you can go to work one day, be a mom one day, you know, be whomever, whatever, to anyone, and in an instant, everything changes. And sometimes the outcomes are okay, and sometimes they're not. And what I have learned, particularly from my father, when he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, he missed a doctor's appointment, which is one of the, you know, my pieces of advice, you know, for my son and all my family and friends, is if you don't have time for anything, you need to have time to take care of yourself, your health. And I believe that his cancer spread and was worse than it probably perhaps might have been in the event that he had gone to that doctor earlier. So it's all along those lines of just understanding, as you opened the show with, we're all vulnerable, and the statistics are the statistics, and we have to be responsible and accountable for our own health.
As we said at the outset, nobody is immune from all those statistics. We can be one of them. Debbie Shapiro, we're delighted to have had you here with us today. Jill Peck, the same, a dynamic team, sisters, friends, business partners. This is Dr. Bill Lampton thanking you for being with us in the Communication Corner on WBCX 89.1 FM. Again, Please visit my blog, thecompletecommunicator.com. Next week, our guest, Dr. Stuart Blakely, Chair of the Department of Mass Communication at Brunel University. Again, this is the Communication Corner. I'm your host, thanking you for being with us, Dr. Bill Lampton on WBCX.